now finding where we hold, where Mem is like an eternal Sith. Okay. We're holding here, I believe, in the paragraph on Chof Gimel. Me'ata, hinek var yisimash va'at kolavala. So he's speaking here about Yichud being the ultimate Gilui, and Bemela Avoida has as its Matara to be Megala the Yichud Yisbarach. And then he says, Me'ata, hinek var yisimash va'at kolavala kvar. Now you begin to understand what's unique about Yichud, that it allows for an acquisition of Shleimus. It allows for Chisaron Shleimus Avodah Kabbalah Shechar. In other words, the entire process of us undoing the chesronos is feasible. Ki omnom im loya roitz alyan el legalis malshe musay loya lifal odvorm shleimim lefya shleim so shayitz legalis loya roya shia von shum kisaron kolak shakir damdu shalavara kol maila ches vizmas yichud ein shayach lach sesreinus. So he says over here, you could not have had any other giluyim that would include chesronos except for Yichud, meaning as follows: if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be megala in the bria, the chachmasa yisbarach, he would have to keep radiating infinite chachma. To say that there are lacks of chachma, and the purpose of the lack of chachma in the bria is to be megala chachmasa yisbarach, is not right. There's no way in the world that a lack of chachma in any way serves as a gili for chachma. So he says, so it's only the only thing which is both a gili and allows for a lack of gili is yichud yisparach. Ve'im lo yachisar lomakam ve'lodom lomak shagav eschar. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to reveal Kocho Yisbarach, Chochmosa Yisbarach, all of these things, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to just shower Shleimus of Chochma, Shleimus of Gvura, Shleimus of whatever it is they're trying to show, and then there's no Mokhan Chisaron, and there's no Mokhan Avodah Sodom. There's Avodah Sodom only because Chisaron, and the only Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's trying to be Megala, that he could be Megala, that would allow for this, would be this midah of echad. So it's only achdusa yisbarach which allows for that type of setup. Akeshebacha sham izgalu mishleimusi yichud yisbarach as nimshach zeshech yisarim benivrov shetzach laras yisarim kedalash ilusim. So once the tachlis of the gilui was achdusa yisbarach, it now makes sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being megala, it leaves chesronos in order to megala the achdus and yichud yisbarach. That's what he says over here. I want to add a point about the same ideas described from different vantage points. In Derech Hashem, for instance, he's trying to describe Avodah Sodom, and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to benefit from the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the only way we could benefit is if we work for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that the only way we could work is if there's something needs fixing. So he left over these chesronos in order that we receive, that we're part of the process and receive schar and so on and so forth. That's an anthrocentric vision. This is more a deocentric vision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon was to be megala something. It's the only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be megala by allowing chesronos, and therefore chesronos were allowed. So this is the only way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could allow this. Once this gilui was in the process of yichud, this is how the setup had to be. So it's the same idea, but coming from very different angles.
And it's also the only gear that never could be mastered.
Correct. In other words, a bria, right, could be mastered. So it both sides, here he's focusing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, and Derech Hashem is focusing more from our needs and our avoda and so on. Okay, next paragraph. Ach, ein zadayin sof biur yichud. But after we finish uncovering all the bits and pieces, that's still not the end. Elisha soif dava mikoyach shleimusa yoda b'masach yisorin. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu shleimus of nizgala. V'yisher akol mesukin b'koyach b'mshalas tuva shel tevadoi oz nikre shel nigo b'fal. So he says it's not. Let's give a mashal. Imagine I have something that's veiled, and I rip off the veiling. So the thing that became revealed is actually the thing itself. It's not me. Because if I take stones and I build a statue, monument, or whatever it is, I did it. If I unveil that which was hidden, yes, as long as it was hidden, it was hidden. But now that I unveiled it, it's really him. When we will be Megala Yechuda Yisbarach, by taking away the Meniyim, we're going to reveal the Pnimius, a type of thing that might be kind of a marshal for this is Bris Mila. Bris Mila consists of us removing Arla, and the word Priya means uncovering, unveiling. The Ara Priya is a thinner skin, and that is sort of hiding or veiling the Pnim, and that becomes unveiled when you fold it back. So the Priya is it's sort of a remez that there is worlds of Kedusha that are realized by the uncovering and unveiling. So we are working at removing the obstacles of Yichud. What will be Mezgala ultimately is a total Hanhaga, Shlemistic Hanhaga of Yichud. The Omnam, so he says, the Omnam Tiri Mayotzer Mezeh, you'll see what comes out of this. Kihine Zevada Yigroim, Sha'afa Pishon Evroim Nivru Bechesroinam. What comes out of this is another Nakuda that even though the Nivroim were created with a Chisorin, that Chisorin will be a Mum over. Mum Shatzach Laval Kolpanim. Al Shabbat Rachim Yim Tzulahava Oisai. So the Ra in the person will become revealed retroactively to have been a necessary component. So because this Mahalach of Ra is the vehicle to bring out the Tov, and possibly the only vehicle, it means that Ilasid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Megala Lemafreya, that every person was Tov. Because the things that we had in us that were hidden were a Tov, that it was a necessary part of the type. So this type of setup allows for us also to... Friends, let's give an example. Let's take something that's very hard for us to see at Tzada Tov. Adolescence. Teenager. When somebody's going through the stage of being a teenager, he's a teenager. And it's like a big bundle of issues. When a person matures and becomes an adult, many times you'll recognize that the same things, those same internal emotional forces that were making you absolutely obnoxious as a teenager are what drove you to a certain maturity, to a certain realization of self, and so on. So you could tell by the laugh and the frown, who has the teenager and who's waiting for a teenager. So it's once it's in place, since it's part of a process, it's like you know, if a person was injured and he had to rehabilitate himself to get back to normal. So it was a flaw, and it stays as a flaw. There were 10 weeks I was out, and it was very difficult, but I managed to get back where I was. As opposed to somebody who's working out and he's going through a lot of weeks of intense exertion and difficulty, but at the end of the process, he says it's this exertion and difficulty that made me who I am and what I am.
So really, is it that every one of us is like a miniature yichud in and of ourselves?
Well, we are. We are created with Ra inside us. Right. So this Yetzer Hara. Right now, all we can say is the Yetzer Hara is the part of us that drags us down. There's nothing about the Yetzer Hara that's lifting us up. But Ulasid Lava, when we realize that the path to Tov came about through the negation of Ra and so on, we will realize in Afreya what we are, who we are, and so on. So he says like this. The Tovini Sharish is called Zeh. Understand this Sharish. Kihine, he says. The whole chisaron, the mahus of the chisaron is the hest upon him. Ra is really a projection of Hest upon him. It's not a Metzias in itself, it's just a projection of Hest upon him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's made it that the purpose of this Hesta is to be Megala what's inside. Either by what we do, so every mitzvah draws the light into an air that's missing. So when a person is mastering himself, he brings out that entire light. That's one way. Omnom, the second half is, if we don't do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still wants you to be in Skala. So the Ramchal says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tachlis in the world is one, to be Megala himself. The chesronas are there as a necessary stepping stone for Gilu. The chesronas will be removed either by us or by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do it, it's going to be very, very difficult. But either or. Let's explain a little bit why, when it comes with Tzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be very difficult. Imagine the following scenario. I have two ways. I'm a pilot, and I'm navigating my way through some clouds. So up ahead there are mountains. Now I am going to find out that there's a mountain there, either by sitting down with pencil and paper and doing my calculations right, and then I say, well, we've been flying this amount of time, this in this direction, and with this and this speed, then we must be here, and the mountains are there, which means we're about 2 minutes away from a mountain, and then we turn and avoid the mountain. Or we crash into the mountain, and then we realize made a big mistake. I have two people that I am considering marrying, and one of them And one of them is right for me, one of them is not right for me. I can discover it by using a lot of thinking and figuring out and avoiding it. And then I realize that this is the right person for me, not the other person. Or I could marry the one that's not right for me, and I discover it's not right by the violence of the reaction, by the difficulty of it. The discovery that Ra is bad comes, we need to taste its full bitterness and bad. It's like sometimes when you want a kid to learn from mistakes, unless it's going to be life-threatening, we want it to get the full flavor. What happens if you forget to take enough money on your trip, or you run out of a battery without thinking twice that you're going to need the phone later? So that means you'll spend 6 hours getting back home instead of a half hour because you're going to walk, and it's going to be tough luck. It's something which, you know, once it happens, they become very, very mindful. That, you know, I remember I once ended up in a subway station in New York, 2 cents short of my fare because I had bought a candy, whatever. I hadn't counted, and I wasn't going to panhandle, so I walked back. It was a freezing rain. It was freezing cold weather. It was a good 40 minutes from my house. And since that time, I count my change 3 times over if I have enough to get back. It's very simple. The only way we learn what Ra is so the vengeance with which Ra snaps back at us, if we choose it, is this.
Someone does mitzvahs and avoids averas, you know, just by rote, mitzvahs on other people. So they, I mean, does that have to be paid back to them? Their realization of the real bad of Ra is not so, it wouldn't be better for them to sin. And
you know what? So a Kaddish Baruch, a person like that gets nisyonos, we have to make real decisions. People who are coast, somehow they find themselves having to make some tough choices that brings that out in them, some real... going back to about the tasting the Ra, there's a beautiful, beautiful story. It's printed in the Kitov, who made the Sefer Todah, also has a book called Chassidim Anshei Maaseh. It's Chassidish stories, but he brings it out in ways that are extraordinary. No mofsim and a lot of deep ideas. It's written in a very beautiful Hebrew. I think they translated in English. I've never not I don't know how good translation is. Huh? Chassidim Anshei Maaseh by Kito. So he has the following story that Reb Zisha and Elimelech, these were two brothers, second generation, third generation Hasidic masters, Noam Elimelech and Reb Zisha. By the Kever in Poland. They were. Yeah. Good, so we're saying it over appropriately. So they were once sitting, I don't know, after taking Chatzos, and Reb Zisha asks his brother Elimelech, he says, Melech, my brother, he says, Adam HaRishon included in himself every single human being. So that means that you were at least a cell somewhere in his body. And as he reached out to eat the Eitz Hadas, which caused so much misery and death and destruction in the world, couldn't you have sent like a very sharp pain? And if he would have desisted for a moment, he would have gotten over it, and he would never have eaten it, and the world would live happily ever after. Why didn't you do that? So Melech answered, he said, Zisha, my brother, I remember that moment very vividly. And not only didn't I pull his hand, I pushed, I told you the story. I pushed it. I pushed his hand to eat from it. He said, well, why would you do that and cause so much misery and suffering in the world? So he said, imagine that he would not have eaten. And the world would have come to its tikkun and shleimus, and we'd stay in Olam Haba forever. So we'd be sitting around Olam Haba munching on the fruit, and the nachash would slither by, and it would say, you know, it's really nice here. It would have been a lot nicer had you eaten Leitz Hadas. And there'd be this tiny, tiny thread of doubt in our minds. He said, now we have no doubt as to how much pain and suffering and bad there is in Eitz HaDas. He says, better to suffer for 6,000 years, but to be certain about the truth, than to being an Aiden and to have some sense of doubt about whether it's right or not. And in other words, when a person does wrong and he suffers the consequences, the one thing that he has is that there's no doubt. There's no... I think it was... There was somebody once came to Eishet Torah to apply for the first year program. Not apply for the first year, but he was ready. He was coming back. He had once become frum together with his brother. His brother had become a superstar in learning and went on to classic yeshivas. He was in yeshiva for a year. He doesn't have his brother's abilities in learning. And was okay. Went back and basically dropped it all. He became a very successful investment banker and lived in Chelsea. Had it all. Everything that a successful, wealthy guy in Manhattan would have. And now he's coming back again. He wants to reconnect after quite a while there. And he was very negative. Like, I tried to map out a program. He doesn't like this, not just this. He doesn't want to learn that, this, that. And finally, I was kind of a little exasperated. I said, so why'd you come back? And he looked me straight in the eye, and he said, Rabbi, if there would have been one thing worth staying for out there, I assure you I wouldn't be back. You know, it's not for the love of here that I'm back. It's because this guy today has some sort of kiva organization. Great guy. But I was very, very... I lived a sheltered life, so he's saying to himself, you know, I know this is the sky, this is right, this is what wants, but there's a lot of fun outside there. Now, someone comes back and says, at the end of the day, it all peters out and leaves you just depressed because there's nothing to it. You know, when you discover that at the end of every drinking binge, there's a hangover, and at the end of, you know, if women are a dime a dozen, then you're also a dime a dozen. And there's no relationship, you know, you could lie dead and nobody feels they cares for you either. You know, it makes a big difference. It's
just hoping that that wasn't the truth, he was understanding it.
What?
He was just hoping that that wasn't the truth,
even though he didn't. No. He had positive feelings about it. He understood the values in that. He had just been very frustrated because he had had his brother's expectations. He hadn't left as if he hadn't found anything. It was more that it was a long road and he wasn't seeing success in it, you know.
On the level of seichel, one can have that clear realization, but if the goof already got some of that chet, like...
True, the Gemara says something about a chet, about tam chet. It's true that there's an issue with that, and it keeps pulling you back. I mean, this guy, Baruch Shem, is the same as the Pharisee, but I'm saying it's true. But on the other hand, a lesson that you learn from a really bad experience when it's something which leaves you no doubts as to the difficulty. That's all. There's no two ways about it.
Is that the Havana in Makom Shebaal Teshuva?
Yes. There's a certain omek of Havana that when a person has seen Ra through to the end and seen that it's not good, then it's...
Isn't this from Zishavar, I think he, that's true because he says it himself, but that was what happened with the Chet, the Norwegian slave,
correct. And the Tikkun is to see see it through till the end and so on. But again, if we could discover it, realizing without it, we're much better off than having to taste the bitter fruits of it. And that's why a lot of times parents want to help a child. It's when I was young and when we spoke to yeshiva, my mother packed everything and arranged everything and gave mirrored instructions, this and that. It went into one ear and went out the other ear. Not I didn't think that she didn't know what she was doing, but it just didn't. But then when I needed something desperately and I couldn't find it, and when things weren't there and I didn't know, and you suffer the consequence of you know, having to miss a flight because you couldn't find your passport, you learn how to organize yourself. And letting kids taste some of the consequences of, when you tell a kid you have to study, you have to do well, you have to study, you're done, the kid begrudging studies, okay. Sometimes you let a kid fail. And again, there's always, you know, the different things to consider, but you let a kid fail and you say, listen, there's a choice in life. You chose to spend that hour goofing off. So you failed. If you enjoy the failure, keep goofing off. If not, then, you know, you sacrifice the hour of goofing off and study. The real life consequences are usually extremely educational. That's the, you know, mitzvah of it. Okay. But so if you can forward it to me, I appreciate it.
In psychology, from what I remember, they call that natural consequences. And right. Basically, the cheshbon always is.